Brian Woods, pianist, travels to Western Pennsylvania to perform a concert at Carnegie Mellon University's Kresge Hall on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Brian, you are going to be playing a solo piano recital with the Steinway Society of Western Pennsylvania on Sunday. Is this your first trip to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Yes, it is. I'm very much looking forward to making my debut performance in Pittsburgh.
We are excited, too. Your journey has been pretty amazing. What was it when you were a child that attracted you to the piano?
Well, you know, to be honest, a lot of kids take piano lessons, and I was no different. Both my brother and sister also took piano lessons. I seem to be the only one that it stuck with.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma, my mom's mother, was a pianist, and she taught all of us. And I was always attracted to music. I really enjoyed musical theater as a kid, and I always joke with people, I'm a bit of a theater kid trapped in a classical pianist's body, because I really enjoy the stage, theatrical productions, and that really attracted me to music in the first place. And I loved classical music. It just was something that I happened to do. It wasn't until I reached university age, heading off to study music, that I really realized that classical piano was going to be really the vessel that I used to communicate most clearly with people, and sort of where my career was going to head. So as a kid, I enjoyed music in many different forms, and this just happens to be one of them that I enjoy and that I've turned into a career.
Well, in turning it into a career, you must have spent many hours in the practice room, because pianists just sort of live in a practice room.
Yes. Well, you know, it's one of those things you have to get very comfortable being by yourself and the discipline of the time practicing. A lot of it is as much about discovering things as it is that discipline as well. And so I think part of it has to do with, yes, getting used to the time making music and drilling things and practicing things so that they can be prepared to the point where you're comfortable on stage, but also, you know, realizing that it's such a privilege and a joy to be able to spend so much time making music and playing piano. So, you know, it's something that I don't take lightly, and I enjoy it very much.
Well, you enjoy it very much. Were there ever issues with a little bit of stage fright or anything like that, especially with competitions? Because there's a whole other way of being when you are competing against others,
yes,
but yourself too.
Absolutely. You know, musicians are as much athletes as they are artists. There's a lot of demands that are on us mentally, physically, emotionally. So much that goes into presenting something on stage, whether it's in a competitive environment or in a recital environment like the one I'm going to be presenting for the Steinway Society. And so I'm really, one of the things that I try to keep in mind is that love of what you do. I think at the end of the day, I like to tell people that it's both all about you and nothing to do with you. It's all about you because you're the only one up there in the recital and people are listening to you play. But at the same time, it really doesn't have anything to do with you. You want to share the music. You want to share this beautiful masterwork that these composers have written. And so you can just focus on that. And that tends to help with some of that stage fright, keeping yourself out of the equation and trying to allow the music to speak for itself.
Well, that is a very lofty idea. I think that's really, keeping yourself out of the music, but being able to represent the music, the composer, and then, you know, you still are you. You are still Brian, and you're bringing Brian to that piece of Rachmaninoff or Debussy or Chopin, which is part of your program this weekend, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. The program that I'm performing is called Wanderings, and it's inspired by, it was motivated by, I don't like to say inspired by, it was motivated by the war in Ukraine that broke out in 2022. I have so many friends who are in the international community, and this has just been such a tragedy for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
In talking to both my Russian and Ukrainian friends who are heartbroken over this struggle, the refrain that I heard over and over again was that I can't go home now. I can't go back to that part of the world because of so much violence. And so I strove to find music that was written by composers who struggle with that idea of not being able to go back to where they want to be or not being where they would like to be. So a lot of this music is inspired by composers like Rachmaninoff and Chopin who were born in one place and were never really able to go back towards the end of their lives. And so I always strive for that human aspect of music. I know I just said that I kind of take myself out of the music process, but I like to keep the focus on that humanity of both the composers and the audience, trying to find something that links those two things so that people have something to connect to more than just, of course, it's beautiful music, but they have something more like a narrative that they can connect to.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and there is so much sorrow and challenge with Ukraine and Russia. So we start with French music. You start with a Claude Debussy, a selection of the Preludes. Let's just touch on those a little bit.
Sure. Debussy is unique in my program, but also in music in general, that the music is about something. We're used to a lot in classical music hearing symphony, sonata, string quartet, and sort of assigning our own meanings to what the music is. In this case, the music is supposed to be reflective of a particular image. So I have three that I'm performing on this program. The first references the sounds and scents swirl in the evening air. It's sort of a poetic moment, a nighttime scene. It's very beautiful, very appealing to the senses. The second one is called Ondine. Ondine is a water nymph, sort of like a mermaid. I always say she's kind of like Ariel, but a bit of a darker story. She's a bit
or
of a mischievous
Rusalka.
Character.
Yeah.
Or Rusalka, of course. And then the third one that I perform is a very famous piece of Debussy's, The Sunken Cathedral. This is an incredible piece that uses all of the coloristic abilities at the piano. I get to show all sorts of images from the bells of the cathedral to this swirling water scene to monks chanting in the cathedral. So you get a little bit of everything, and they're just incredible pieces. And I love to open the program with them because they really do set this sort of atmospheric mood before I head into perhaps a bit more tumultuous Rachmaninoff and Chopin music.
Well, the Debussy, especially the Sunken Cathedral, is just such, they are so evocative of, you know, just creating this kind of sound plane that you're enjoying and sort of sinking into, literally. And then, you go right to Rachmaninoff with this Sonata number 2. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's a big play, as we say in the biz. But it's been a lot of fun to do. I learned the piece just this last year. We were celebrating Rachmaninoff's 150th birthday, and so I took the opportunity to learn a lot of Rachmaninoff. And to be frank, I didn't play a lot of Rachmaninoff growing up. This was not a composer who I played a lot of his music. But I've just had such a wonderful journey working on this piece. There are two versions of the sonata. He wrote a longer version and then edited the piece to a shorter version, which is the one that I'll be presenting in my recital. And you just get a little bit, you know, a little bit of everything that you expect from Rachmaninoff. I always say this piece has a lot to do with the third piano concerto. There are so many moments of extraordinary virtuosity, but also moments of very bare writing, very small bits of music that I play that just gives incredible contrast and emotional clarity to the piece. So it's so much fun to perform. It's only about, 17, 18 minutes or so, but it's a wild ride, and I'm very excited to present it.
Yeah, those are very strong 17 or 18 minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
Then you take a bit of a rest, and then you settle on the ballades of Chopin, and such a sort of a very different way to approach the second half.
Yeah, I've always thought of the ballades as a bit of a symphonic experience at the piano. I have been playing the cycle for a couple seasons now, and it's funny, we play a lot of these pieces as kids in high school or perhaps in college. You study some of the ballades, and they were not music that I studied that much as a kid myself. So I was really excited to study them and perform them first as a cycle before I really performed them on their own. So, it's funny. A lot of people probably would finish a program with the Rachmaninoff. It has a very flashy ending. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I find the Chopin just so monolithic. Mm-hmm. And it's something that really needs to stand on its own. And it does stand on its own. Each of them almost feels like a snapshot of the composer's life. You can hear his style develop and transform over the course of these four pieces. But of course, they're so uniquely Chopin. And so, you know, they're always a little scary to play. People recognize them. They know them well.
Right.
But it's something that, you know, the great thing about Chopin is that even if you get, you know, 100 pianists playing the same piece, they're going to sound so different because the music is so personal. It's so unique that everyone's going to have a bit different timing, phrasing, structuring of the music. So I'm always excited to play them because it feels like you get to display your pianism in the best way possible. You know, you get to give your best version of yourself every single time you perform this music.
Well, and that's the thing about Chopin. You really can make it your own and go in there and just play what you need to play, bring out what you need to play that Chopin put there on the page for you.
Absolutely. He is such a personal composer. He is someone who felt things very deeply, and you can hear that in the music. There's the great thing about the ballades is that within each of the four, there's such a journey. And so, you know, you can start off one piece, you know, one of them, for instance, the second ballade, it says it's in F minor, or sorry, it says it's in F major, excuse me. It says it's in F major, but a great majority of the piece is in A minor. And, you know, this sort of crazy key structure that he puts in, you would never expect to hear with just looking at the key of the piece. And the second ballade as well was dedicated to Chopin's friend Robert Schumann, another famous composer in the classical world. And, you know, this is another bit of the human moment of this music that I like to tap into, is that, you know, Schumann had a lot of struggles that perhaps we would identify with as something like a bipolar, you know, mental health struggle that he had. And you can really hear that in the music. It's so back and forth. It's as Chopin was sort of delving into Schumann's struggles by his own compositions. So it's that kind of thing where I get to tap into someone who had such human experiences and is showing them in the music, but also just the music in general, because it's written so well for piano and so personally, I get to display myself very clearly as well. So it's a win-win.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about the competitions that you've done. The Verona competition, I believe, is
Sure.
Yes, tell me.
Yeah, I've done some several competitions. The Verona competition I did back in, I want to say, I think it was 2018. That was one of the major international competitions that I participated in. I recently won a competition in California, the Beverly Hills National Audition. This is something that I did sort of off cuff. I didn't really know anything about it. I sent in some applications and I did my audition. And in winning the competition, I was able to start some professional engagements over on the West Coast. And I've won several competitions here in the Midwest that have sort of got my career going in that sense. But you know, the thing is, a lot of my success as a performer has come from these live concert experiences, going to play concerts in places like Pittsburgh, where I'm performing this week, and, you know, just connecting with audiences in a way that people invite me to come and do more things. So, you know, it's from building on the competitive experiences. I always say to pianists, you know, competitions aren't the end goal. They're just the starting point for getting yourself going as a performer. So I was happy to have some early success in competitions, but I always say that's sort of the, you know, the beginning moment of where you can take the opportunity to build as an artist and as a performer and then, you know, go from there.
Exactly. And then I believe you have a recital on Friday evening. So this is a very big weekend for you.
Yes, yes. And then I have another concert next Thursday. So I'm off to the races starting this week. I have a concert. I'm based in St. Louis, and I have a concert in Illinois on Friday evening. I'll be flying into Pittsburgh on Saturday and performing on Sunday. I'm back to St. Louis to perform on Thursday next week, and then I'm touring in Iowa and New Hampshire.
Wow.
So a good amount going on, but it's great to be so busy, and honestly, I'm doing what I love. So, you know, from all the early mornings and flights and, you know, trying to cram the practice in between traveling, it's important to keep that, you know, just being grateful for what I'm able to do. I would never have imagined having this pleasure of being able to travel and perform and to share what I love with so many different people. So it's a really fantastic thing.
Do you have anything like a portable keyboard or anything that you use while you're in the plane or thinking about music, or do you just sort of let it go through your brain?
I try to. Mental practice is an art in and of itself, and it's something that I don't think we necessarily develop until we have to. It's one of those things where, I to answer your question, no, I don't have something that I bring around with myself to practice on. I do have my iPad that I keep my music on, so if I'm on the plane, I can sort of whip that out and take a look at some of the music if I want to do some study. But at the end of the day, as pianists, we're often confined to what's available to us.
Right.
So, you know, you try to prepare as best you can. I always say, you know, you try to be ready to the point where someone drags you out of bed at 3 a.m, you can sit down and play your recital, be ready to go. And you prepare as best you can, and, you know, the rest is up to the fates, I suppose. But I'm getting to the point where I've performed this program a lot, and I've traveled a lot as a performer. I'm getting to the point where I'm pretty comfortable, you know, just having that little bit of time before the concert to prepare, and then being comfortable stepping out on stage and presenting this wonderful music.
Oh, that's wonderful. You can hear Brian Woods, pianist, in a solo piano recital as the final concert for the Steinway Society of Western Pennsylvania. It is this Sunday at Carnegie Mellon University College of Fine Arts at the Kresge Theater. It begins at 3 o'clock. The program includes Claude Debussy, Sergei Rachmaninoff, and Frédéric Chopin. As a pianist, I bet it's challenging because you don't carry your violin around or carry your piano around. Every instrument is different.
Absolutely. But again, it's one of those things that you just get used to as a traveling performer. People often ask, you know, do you need hours and hours with the instrument that you're going to be performing on? I said, honestly, you know what it's going to be like after the first 40 seconds of playing around on an instrument. You know, it's that kind of sense where I always start with a little bit of Debussy to get a sense of how some of the more coloristic and sensitive moments are going to feel and sound. I do a little bit of the virtuosic performance so that I know, you know, just how quickly things can go and what some of the fingery moments are going to feel like. But apart from that, you really do get a sense of how an instrument's going to feel pretty quickly. So, you know, you get into that mode of, okay, what do I need to know quickly? And then you're off to the races.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, Brian, thank you for your time this morning. And we look forward to March 24th, where you are presenting a solo piano recital as part of the Steinway Society of Western Pennsylvania's concert season. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.